Can't make it to Coastal? No worries. We've got you covered with select Fetch Kansas City 2024 sessions now on Flex. For just $199, Fetch On Demand gives you access to the best sessions, speakers, and over 30 CE credits. That's right, 30 CE credits. Learn when, where, and how it fits into your busy life. Whether you are catching up between appointments, learning from the comfort of home, or squeezing in a quick session over coffee, Fetch On Demand gives you the flexibility you need to earn CE credits on your terms. Click the link in the show notes and learn more today.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Welcome back to the Vet Blast Podcast. Hey, veterinary technicians out there, have you considered a career as being a veterinary technician specialist? What an incredible career that is. And specifically, we're going to talk about VTS in dentistry. And I have my friend here, Sheena Davis, that's going to chat with us further. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us and sharing your expertise with us. A little bit of information about our friend Sheena. She's a graduate of the Vet Tech Institute of Pittsburgh, earning her AS degree in specialized technology. Upon completion of her externship at the Animal Medical Center 2004, she sat for the BTNE in 2005 and passed. Congratulations, by the way. We're going to chat about that. She's a New York-based veterinary technician that has over 18 years of experience in the field of small animal medicine, and she's earned her veterinary technician specialization in dentistry and certification in cannabis counseling in 2020. She enjoys lecturing at conferences as a published peer-reviewed author and a host of her own veterinary podcast called Catnip and Chill, a board member of the Veterinary Cannabis Society and the owner of the Big Apple LVT Consulting and Education. So lots of great work that you're doing in this great field of veterinary medicine. And so I'm always curious to hear our friend's background and like how you got to where you are. So tell me a little bit about how you got into the field of VTS and then specifically into dentistry.
So everybody always asks me this question and I laugh because I always compare it to kind of Beauty and the Beast, kind of saying it's Stockholm Syndrome. Because as a veterinary technician, being in the field for so long, 18 years, you're thrown into the fire of dentistry and doctors are like, you do it, you figure it out. So I had to kind of face this lion every day in my career. And I used to hate it so much because I used to say, there's got to be an easier way. There has to be an easier way than what I'm facing. Like this can't just be how dentistry is for animals. It, you know, initially was so barbaric early years, and it's changed so much in this past couple of years. So when society started becoming a thing in academies in NAVTA, one of the three were, the big three was anesthesia, dentistry, and emergency and critical care. So I said, I should go for the dentistry one because I'm doing this for a large portion of my day at work. So maybe I can learn something new and see what happens. And that's exactly what I did. I had to do, before you can apply, you have to do all these things, like, you know, be a technician for 5 years and then meet all these criteria, apply and then get accepted in order to do it. But once I was in, I started reading the books and learning, it's like a light bulb just went ding. And then I just fell in love with it because I just, again, my passion for learning kind of kicked in, being a nerd. And once I dived in down the rabbit hole, I just loved it. And I was like, I'm going to stay in this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I pursued it. And now I have a very rewarding career. And if you could face something that is challenging to you, you find that you'll love it. And then once you love it, it's no longer work, right? They say if you are passionate about something, you're no longer working. You're having fun every day. So I'm kind of glad that I did that. And every day of my life at work, they're always asking me questions and I'm happy to answer it. And I'm happy to be the dental nerd in clinic.
Yeah. I'm sure you're very popular, by the way, because, you know, sometimes you always just need another pair of eyes, or if somebody gets frustrated with either radiograph positioning technique or extraction. So helpful. So you mentioned that this is really, you know, your passion and you're enjoying it. Did it change a little bit when, as a veterinary technician, to go into veterinary technician specialty, did you feel the need to, you know, pursue a specialty career, or were you feeling fulfilled as a veterinary technician? Like, what was going through your mind aside from saying, oh yeah, I want to go for BTS in dentistry, but what were some other considerations that you took into account?
I was very fulfilled in my role, but I wanted to take on a challenge to say, what's more can I do? What more can I bring to the table to not only be an amazing advocate for my patients, but also to provide the best care I possibly can? Because again, I was telling myself there has to be a better way, not only for my personal pets, but for every pet that comes through that door. I think of everyone's animal as my own. So I want them to get the top-notch care. So by doing that, I was really going in it mostly just for my own educational purposes and to bring something more to the table for my clinic and my patients. But once I did that, it opened a lot more doors for me than I even thought was possible, such as, lecturing and education and teaching, and not only teaching veterinary technicians, but also educating veterinarians, because unfortunately, there aren't a lot of education programs out there in schools, especially in technician and veterinary programs in which they're really getting a deep education in dentistry. So having someone that Batman and Robin dynamic in clinic is wonderful. I love that synergy where you can work together as a team to accomplish something.
And what are some challenges that you see as a VTS in dentistry?
I think the challenge that I face as a VTS in dentistry is what I am basically is a dental hygienist. I am a veterinary dental hygienist. My role is to come in, get full mouth radiographs, scale and polish those teeth to perfection, do some charting for the doctor, as well as having the doctor double check me and then applying my local blocks. And that is the extent of my job. But there is oftentimes a misconception where they're like, oh, you're a VTS in dentistry, which means you're a dentist. I was like, wrong. That's not correct. I'm not a dentist. I'm a dental hygienist. Veterinary dentists do exist and they go through their own program. So I think fighting that conflict all the time where they're like, oh, you can do extractions, said, no, I actually don't do extractions. This is what I do. And so having that constant battle by saying like, I'm only going this far and what I'm doing is something I have to face often in the clinic, but not so much now that I'm kind of stationary where I am at, but every time I go to a new job or if I'm moving somewhere, it's the same conversation. Can you do extractions? No.
And what to those that are listening, what's some pieces of advice that you would give to those technicians that are considering entering a field of VTS in general and then also in dentistry?
If you want to enter the field and of becoming a VTS, it is hard work. A lot of the times it's work you have to like encourage yourself to do. So yes, you get a mentor to kind of guide you through the program, whichever program you're in, but it's up to you to do the work for you to like stay on top of your logs, stay on top of your case reports, stay on top of everything. And they're there to check in once in a while, but they're not there to babysit you or hold your hand. And I feel like a lot of people get frustrated with that, but you really have to be someone who's very driven and wants to have this and work hard at it because each program is different for the veterinary dental program. It is a 3-year program in which I had to work full time in clinic and I would do one day a week for free for 10 hours at a veterinary dentist clinic to watch cases and kind of see how they do things and advance cases. So,
I
no,
didn't know that.
yeah. So it's not like I didn't stay at my practice because I was in a general practice, which I got to see a lot of things like periodontal cases and so on and so forth. But for your advanced cases, you need to see, follow a dentist. So you have to have that sacrifice in you to say, I'm going to go out of my way. And I had to go out of my way to Long Island. I'm in New York. So that's a 2-hour schlep from the city to
Yes.
watch Dr. Carmichael. He's amazing, do his thing. Just know that there are going to be some things, depending on what you're applying for, that may need you to go above and beyond. Not to mention, there is a financial component involved as well. So if you have a clinic that's willing to support you, that's wonderful. If not, it is a financial burden because you do have to go to conferences to get your continuing education, go to wet labs, get your wet lab hours, and so on and so forth, in addition to paying for your packet and for your exam, which can be around $500, $600 per exam, depending on how many times you take it, plus flights, hotels, and so on.
And what's the exam like, by the way? How long is it?
The exam is a pretty long. It is broken up into two parts. You have a practical side and you do have a written component side. Each one's about, I think, 2 hours each. So knowing everything you need to study, like reading your books from cover to cover, also looking at journals and so forth, knowing your stuff is very important. And then obviously the practical side, like knowing how to do your job as a veterinary technician in dentistry or whatever area you're going to be into, whether it's anesthesia and whatnot.
Interesting. And what are some things that you would like to change within the veterinary dentistry? Because you've been in this field now for a while. So what are some things that you would like to change within?
I think what I like to change is having schools really make it part of the curriculum, like no longer offering it as an elective, making it part of the core curriculum, because especially most veterinarians want to become GP veterinarians. It's a very small portion that's like, I'm hardcore large animal, I'm hardcore zoo, and they want to do that. But for those that are entering GP, your practice, you're predominantly doing a lot of dentistry cases, and dentistry equates to a large portion of the money you make for your clinic or your company, wherever you're at. So having that skill set is going to make your life less stressful. It's going to also help you help those patients. And then there's not this battle of putting who do we put the responsibility on, the technicians or the doctors? Because right now, I've seen in clinic, as I've visited and educated people on either oral radiographs and so on and so forth, technicians are doing like 95% of the dentistries out there. And that includes extractions, which is scary because if they're not only just plucking a tooth, if they're doing more than that, that's dangerous for the patient. And the clients are not being informed, and clients are paying, up to $2,000 or more for a dentistry case that's being performed. And it's not being performed by a veterinarian, it's being performed by a technician. And technicians aren't really protected that much. I mean, we don't have, liability insurance. Some of us don't really have the skill set. We've just seen someone do it, and then we're just going to repeat that without having the knowledge behind it, which can cause problems and cause embolisms and so forth. So I think really pushing and striving for really strong education and having boundaries, saying, okay, these things are clearly a veterinarian's scope of practice, period. And this is what we expect from our technicians, period. And then we're going to come together to do this work. I think that's what we need to come to. And right now, that it's still an issue.
Yeah, it is. And to your point, to the listeners out there, we hear you. And here at DVM360 and the Fetch conferences, we always have dentistry lectures throughout, but we're adding in a lot more layers to it of hands-on for both veterinary technicians and the veterinarians together. So it's not going to be like a one-off where the vet techs go one way. They're going to work together because that's really is a teamwork-based approach to managing these patients. So I think that's really awesome. So stay tuned for that. And I'm sure Sheena would love that because that's just right up your alley to for everyone to work together. So
Exactly. I love having this the synergy because people always ask me too, like, oh, well, how do you run a dentistry case? And I always tell people you need to have at least three people on that case, which is a veterinarian and two nurses, because you want any dental case comes with anesthesia, that patient's under general anesthesia. So I'd like to have a dedicated anesthesiologist, a nurse there monitoring my patient closely. I would be doing the dentistry portion, like I said, oral radiographs, scaling, polishing, probing, and regional blocks, and then the doctor comes in and does their surgical component. And that is the safest way and the most efficient way to get a dental case done. Because I also see in cases in clinic, patients are under for more than 4 hours. And that doesn't need to be the case either, because the longer you're under anesthesia, the increase of morbidity you have for that patient. And these patients have comorbidities because these are patients that never seen a toothbrush in their life with teeth dangling out of their mouth. So always kind of advocating for yourself. If you are going to be doing a dentistry case, don't do it alone. I've seen horror cases where it's a technician by themselves doing all three things, scaling and polishing, anesthesia, and an extractions. And I'm like, whoa, that's scary. So really sitting down with your team and your clinic and discussing best practices and how to implement them. I know that we're still fighting the veterinary shortage in field in terms of not only veterinarians, but technicians as well. And there's also that conversation that's going around saying, how can we implement a nurse practitioner in here? Is that a new role? Is that something a VTS can fill? That's another conversation there too. Because then again, there's a question of liability. Who's going to cover that person should something happen to the patient? So it's like come together when you think of this thing. And it's like it's important that we sit down and talk about these things.
Absolutely. Well, excellent. Sheena Davis, where can we learn more about you?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm the Big Apple LVT, and I post things there all the time. I'm also on LinkedIn. And if you want to check out my Catnip and Chill podcast, we have a lot of educational stuff there as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for the listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as always, as it helps us continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.